Shalom Aleichem, Mishneh Yomi is holding in chapter 10, Perek Yud of Yevamot, Mishneh Daled, number 4, continuing with situations where somebody went overseas and there was reports, a premature report of their demise. So this time, Mishneh Daled, Misha Holcha Ishto, Libedinat Hayam. Now it's the wife who goes overseas on an extended and possibly dangerous business trip, Uvav Amrulo, and they come and they inform the husband, Meta ishtacha, unfortunately, your wife has passed away. And the husband, in horrible sadness, does the only thing he can think to do to console himself. Nasa et achota. He marries the sister of his deceased wife, allegedly deceased. Achar koch bot ishto. But then the original wife comes home. So what do we do now? Muteret lochzor lo. The confused husband can return to the original wife. Now, the reason for this is that there was no validity whatsoever to a marriage to the sister when the wife was still alive. It's an iser karet, penalty of excision, and the quote-unquote marriage is a complete sham. It has no legal validity. As a result, the Mishnah explains, hu mutar bekrovot shnia. And if the marriage ends for whatever reason, the man could then marry a relative, for example, the daughter of that second sister, Ushnia Muter Bekrovav, and vice versa, she can marry his relatives. You understand, as we've mentioned before in Yevamot, if there was a marriage, a valid marriage at any time that ended in death or divorce, then typically people cannot marry the relatives, the close relatives of the other spouse. Now, the exception actually is, as we see in this Mishnah, the sister, that a sister is only forbidden during the lifetime of the original wife, and we're about to find out that does change with her death. As the Mishnah now teaches, imeta rishona, if the original wife later does pass away, this time she's mamish, she's really dead and buried, mutar b'shnia, then the man could actually marry, and this time it's a real marriage to the surviving sister. Amru lo, if they told him, meta ishtacha, your wife passed away, v'nosa tachoto, and then he went ahead and married her sister, achar kach amru lo, and then they come and they told him it was a mistake. Kayemet chayta, she was actually still alive, maybe in a coma, maybe, but she was still alive. Lamaisa, at the time you married her sister umeta, but then later on she did pass away for real. Havlod rishon mamzer. So if they had conceived children, the husband and the sister, if they had conceived children while the first wife was still alive, that's an illegitimate child, because again, this relationship is punishable by karet, by excision, a very serious penalty. But if they conceived a child after the first wife was actually really deceased, that child is completely legitimate, because now their marriage is actually real and legally binding. Rabbi Yossi has a chilak here. He says, Kol aposel al yadei acherim. When somebody makes a disqualification to others, posel al yadei atzmo. He also disqualifies his own situation. Now, the Bartner here explains from the Gemara, this is a situation where, going back to the first mission in the chapter, the sister had a husband who went overseas, probably to somewhere else, on a dangerous business trip as well. So they came and they told the sister, oh, unfortunately, your husband died. They also came and told the first husband, oh, unfortunately, your wife died, who's the sister of the survivor. So, you know, they to console one another, they got married. So Yossi is saying, in a case where the sister, the second sister, can't go back to her first husband, who is not dead, then so too the man in question, the man who's the subject of Mishneh Daled, can't go back to his wife, the first sister, because there's in the Mefarshim and the Gemara, they talk about they have to give a get to both, so it's an issue. But kol she'ein poso al yadei acherim, and one who does not cause problems for other people, einu poso al yadei atzmo, he does not cause disqualification to himself. This is, of course, an amazing insight in Musar. Don't make problems, try not to make problems for other people, and people aren't going to make problems for you. Now let's go into Mishnah. Hey, Amru lo, they told the husband, Meta ishtacha, unfortunately your wife has passed away. V'nasa achotu, and he marries the sister. This is achota me'aviha, a paternal sister, a sister who shares a father with his original wife, but not a mother. Meta, they informed him that wife has now passed away. V'nasa achota me'ima, he marries now the maternal sister of the second wife. Meta, you can see where this is going, can't you? They inform him that she's passed away. Venasa achota me'aviha, he marries the paternal sister of the third wife. Meta, they inform him incorrectly, we'll see, that she passed away. Also, Nasa Ahota Me'ima, and he marries the maternal sister of the fourth wife. As a reminder of something we've mentioned, a number of the cases, perhaps a lot of these cases in Yevamot, sound a bit extreme because they are to illustrate a case and a legal reality. It's not necessarily that this scenario ever happened. That would be quite unlucky for a man to allegedly have all five of his related wives passing away. But sometimes our sages, they teach a kind of far-out case, so we understand the rulings also in a fairly normal case. So the Mishnah now teaches, you guessed it, Nimsu Kulan Kayamot. The news of their demise was incorrect. They were all still alive. So now he has a problem because some of them are sisters. I mean, all of them really are a chain of sisters, but you understand wife one and two are related. They share one parent, but wife one and three are not actually related. They don't share any parents. So the Mishnah explains, Mutzar Berishona, he can stay married to the original wife, B'shlishit, the third wife, who is not related at all to the first wife, B'chamishit, and with wife number five, who shares a parent with wife number four, but no parents with wife number three. Opotrot tsarotehen, and if there's a case of yibum or chalitza in this situation, then a yibum or chalitza done to any one of these wives, wives one, three, and five, the real valid wives, works for their co-wife. If there was another co-wife, not a sister, someone totally unrelated, call her Sally, then it would work. It would potter her, the yibum or chalitza, on one of these, because wives one, three, and five are real, valid wives. V'osur b'shnei ravit, but he cannot marry or remain married to number two and number four. After all, wife number two shares a parent with wife number one, and wife number four shares a parent with wife number three. V'ein biat ahat mehen poteret sarata. And even a yibum done on quote-unquote wife number two and four does not exempt their co-wife. It's not really a yibum. There was never really a mitzvah of yibum there. It was not a valid, legal, binding marriage. Now, the Mishnah brings a variation to this case. In Ba'al Shnia, if he lived as man and wife with the second wife, La'achar Mitat Rishona, after the first original wife had actually, really, mamish, been passed away and buried, now he has a legal marriage to the second wife. So now Mutar Bishniya Ravit. He can stay married to wife number two and wife number four. After all, wife number three shares a parent with wife number two, and wife number five shares a parent with wife number four, but numbers two and four are not related at all. Upotrot Sarotehan, and again, if Yibam or Chalitza comes up with this marriage situation, then Chalitza or Bia with one of them exempts any unrelated co-wives. Asur b'shlishit chamishit, he cannot remain married to wife number three and wife number five, because after all, they are relatives to the wife number two and four that he does have a legal binding marriage with. Ein biat achat mehen poteret sarata. And again, a yibum done to wife number three or five is not a valid yibum and does not exempt a co-wife from needing yibum or chalitza. Yashar kochachem, and we should all hear good news that our family and friends are alive and well and coming home.